kind of pulling for Atlanta because of our IU connections there, but wasn't to be.
It was not to be, but it was entertaining. And if you didn't have a dog,
it was all of that.
Yeah.
And historic, as you rattled off two arm lengths of, and your arms are long, what, records?
Too many to count and list, but the Patriots right here on the airwaves.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champions trailed 28-3, came back and tied it with less than a minute to go in regulation. Win it in overtime, 34-28. So if you didn't stay up for the end, oh, geez, you picked the wrong night to go to bed early. But we're here to talk a little high school action to recap a busy, busy weekend. And jump in the pool. I saw the video of there goes Phil Cole. There goes Coach Lou. Everybody's in the pool. Is South. Well, they're sectional champs again.
Well, they are indeed, and nothing but productive, outstanding Phil Cole South swimmers and divers as the girls flat dominated the sectional for a second straight year, dominating, winning 8 of the 12 events, setting 7 new standards along the way. Dave Tanner's North girls on to state this weekend with an outstanding effort as well, finishing second for a second year in a row and winning 3 events in a very solid showing. But spotlight the purple and white coming out of week number 12 in our spotlight. School and meet records just flat out the window. McKenzie Lewis, 200 IM, 202.6. She's under 5 minutes now in the 500 free, 459.6, adding legs as well on the winning 200 medley and 400 free relays. Same scenario for teammate Grace Haskett, the 50 free, 23.2. She's down to 55.06 in the 100 back. Jelena German, a new 100 free standard in 51.4. Phoebe Rensink, also in on the 3 event wins like Jelena, capturing the 100 fly. Just outstanding. But the city schools, as I say, 1-2. Alicia DeMars, the conference Indiana diving champ, added the sectional to her trophy case and is on to the regional tomorrow night at Bloomington North. Also a member of the record-breaking 200 free relay for Dave Tanner. New sectional and school record of 137.7 with teammates Melissa Wang, Emmy Wright, and Emma Mon, who also won the 100 breaststroke. The young lady, the exchange student from Berlin, Germany, just having an outstanding winner. Just outstanding, too, for North. Let's give them credit. 3 school records and 4 state berths, and now the big show for the girls comes Saturday at the IU Natatorium. Meanwhile, on the mats, Mike Runyon's South Wrestlers won its 5th regional title on the home mats, beating Edgewood, but unlike last week's 9th straight sectional crown, won by a scant half point, some breathing room at the regional Saturday, winning this one by 19.5 points as they move forward now to the Evansville Semistate on Saturday. Regional champs for the purple and white, Noah Hunt at 126, Derek Blueball at 138. Those are back-to-back regionals for those two Panthers. Blake Webb checked in at 145, winning the regional, as did Harley Hillenberg at 285. South also had 4 second-place finishes. Like South, Greg Rattle of Sedgwick Mustangs will be sending 10 to the Semistate this weekend. Zane Sullivan, the lone winner, he won at 120. Congrats out to Zane for the red and black. 3 runner-up finishes with Noah Gardner at 106, Jay Orman at 113, and Denver Alot at 152. Marty Hutzel's North Cougs finished 6th. Brett Smith, though, won at 132, and the Cougs will send 4 qualifiers to Evansville on Saturday. Well, the boys took the weekend off on the hardwood. They're back to action this week. North will host Mooresville tomorrow night, looking for its 9th win after beating up on Edgewood back on Thursday. South has the week to rest until they play Columbus North Friday. They've won 9 in a row, 13 of their last 14, and stand 15-3. And Edgewood will host Eastern on Thursday night in our broadcast games. As a matter of fact, we'll have back-to-back broadcasts Thursday and Friday this weekend, 7 o'clock with JB. deal. And Chalk Talk, John Callahan, Terry Stills will handle that game. I'll be back with John on Friday night. Sectional titles to Northview, 60-40 over Brown County out of Edgewood, and Columbus North beat East in the girls' sectional title at Columbus to move on to the regional. Northview now plays Indianapolis Attucks at Danville come Saturday, and it's East Central and Columbus North down at B&L where Martinsville and B&L complete the field there for the regional at the B&L Fieldhouse. The local teams bowed out early in the state tournament. North finished 5-18, South 10-12, and Edgewood 15-9. Lighthouse Christian beat Columbus Christian in the seniors' night game at Lighthouse, 58-28, the final there for Mark May's crew. Grace Holdeman had 33 points, but here's a stat, too. This is a career high. She does so many things well. She had 18 steals in that ball game. Jessica Fix finished with 15-7. The girls winning it to the Lighthouse now 11-7 on the year. The boys get to action against Horizon Christian. They'll be at home tonight. Also, the girls will play the front game at 5:30 to close out the regular season before they get ready for their postseason. Gymnastics had the week off last week, but Columbus East will compete against Bloomington South tonight, Lisa Jones' group, and the boys getting ready to end the regular season before their sectional in the pool, Columbus East and Bloomington North tonight. That'll be 6 o'clock for Dave Tanner's crew. Don't forget the morning after, a couple of unfortunate Hoosier losses on Sunday. The men at Wisconsin, the women at home to number 3 Maryland. In the zone, Dave and Glass and your phone calls to kick off your sports week tonight at 6.
And Joe, it was a good game for the Hoosiers. It was a good fight, but I don't like to put fight at the top of the list. I expect fight every night from my team. They keep digging these holes, Joe, and you can't do that against good teams, especially on a court where nobody wins at Wisconsin. You can't dig these 11-point, 9-point holes and try to and expect to get out of them at the end. That's the tough part there.
Well, what was disappointing was the fight they came back with. I'm going to use that because they got back in the ball game.
They did.
Turning the doggone ball over again early against Wisconsin to start the ball game. I mean, first of all, it took them 5 minutes to score their first basket. But that said, they went on that 14-2 run. They tied the game at 24. They give up a three, but they trail, you know, at half.
They never led,
27-24. It's very manageable. So what happens? Well, they go on a 441 scoring drought early on in the second half.
They turn the ball over
6 or 7 times, and all of a sudden they're 9.
Yep.
And then what happens when you're there? I mean, you know, it gets down to a 2-point ball game around the 10-minute mark, but then that free throw contest, that we've seen one too many times.
It is, Joe, but it was interesting. Indiana settles for a little bit of jump shot. Thomas Bryant has, what, one basket in the second half, and Wisconsin just tries to pound the ball inside to get to the line. There's something there to be learned.
Yeah. Well, what was
you shoot a lot of jump shots, you're not going to shoot a lot of free throws.
What was learned was they put it to the from the line 31 times and outscored Indiana by 12. So, but anyway, you know, and we've said this before, turnovers are turnovers. It's when they happen and then what results as, you know, the turnover.
Yeah, it turns a 2-point game into a 10-point game or a 9-point game.
What comes of it, you know, and Wisconsin had 16 points. We had 6.
And there's
off of their 13. Turned them over 13 times. How many times do you ever see Wisconsin in double figures in turnovers?
Yeah, they ate in the first half, which was ridiculous. It was a very
sloppy
game. You had something there to steal, and the Hoosiers didn't steal it. We'll talk more about that coming back at 8:45.
We'll be here.
All right, happy Monday, buddy.
All right, you as well.
All right, it's Monday morning. It's 8:46. That means we get caught up with our good friend, Joe.
Where'd the morning go, Glass?
It flies by when there's sunshine, Margaret, and the day after the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Smitty, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm here.
Look at that sunshine.
Good morning.
Look at it.
I'm totally all about it because, you know what? Even when I was in Dallas, 3 days out of 5, it was gloomy and cloudy, and I'm getting really needing of sunshine. I don't know about you guys.
They call that winter.
Oh, we all need sunshine.
I'm needing some sunshine, so this is cool.
Good. Sun is good, clouds no. And but it is February.
That's right. Joe brings us the
January,
sunshine.
And
we're one day closer.
Yeah. One. Not a bad forecast this week, Les.
No, very interesting one. And
it is an interesting one.
It's going to change because it's got a little interesting temperatures and rains and thunderstorms. Oh, we've got it all. Now, luckily, your travel was not impeded on your way back from Madison due to any of that weather. That helps you this time of year, so you're all for sunshiny days.
Boy, sunshiny.
I'm not going to try it again. The Hoosiers, Joe, triple overtime on Wednesday night. Their reward, a noon tip-off in Madison on Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock our time. Indiana, some common themes. There's dog in the fight. I got that part. They've got the three-headed monster playing well, for lack of a better term, but it's the turnovers and the situational play that still leaves something to be desired. It's impossible to win at Wisconsin when you make multiple errors. Indiana gave a good showing of themselves, but it wasn't enough to knock off the Big Ten leaders yesterday, and their prize for that, a home game with Purdue, 7 o'clock on Thursday. The Hoosier weekend starts now.
Well, they chased all day for the lead and never got it Sunday as the Hoosiers of Coach Tom fell 65-60 to 10th-ranked Wisconsin. It's 15th straight loss at the Kohl's Center in Madison. The Badgers not scintillating by any stretch of the imagination, but end of the game, it was a familiar spot on the court to decide matters as the Badgers towed the line at the charity stripe. Hit 16 of 21 in the second half from the line, including five of its final six, to close out any Sunday upset plans by the Hoosiers. When it was all said and done, the Badgers won for a 19th straight time at home at Cole and now stand 17-2 over the Hoosiers, regardless of the venue. Indiana did some things defensively that could have gotten the win. I mean, they held Wisconsin to 39% shooting for the game. The Badgers only 4 of 17 from behind the line. The Hoosiers erased a 12-point lead, a hole that they dug themselves in early in the first half, going on a 14-2 run to knot things. Late in the first half of 24, they trailed it half by three, very doable still, but then promptly went on a 4:41 scoreless drought, got down nine, trimmed it to two at the 10-minute mark, but a Bronson Koenig three put Wisconsin up by seven. But despite Josh Newkirk's late push offensively, scoring the final 8 points for Indiana, he had little support as Ethan Happ and Nigel Hayes made sure with a solid play. And they were solid really from the get-go. Happ in the opening half and Hayes in the second half. Hayes finished with 15-10. Happ had 20 and 7 rebounds, and Wisconsin survived. Indiana 5-6 with Purdue ahead at 7 o'clock Thursday night. Indiana's 15 turnovers gave up 16 points on the day in key stretches, I might add. It's when they happen and then what the result is from that point on. Indiana forced Wisconsin into a, unBadger-like 13 turnovers for them, but only 6 points scored all day long by Indiana. Wisconsin won the battle of the boards by four. They had 12 offensive caroms, won the points in the paint. Badgers on top alone at 9-1. The regular season sweep of Indiana complete 65-60. Had a great crowd to watch Indiana play hoops on the Simon Scott Assembly Hall, Branch McCracken Court yesterday, over 4,000 watching third-ranked Maryland destroy Terry Morin's crew. And they left saying, well, that's why they're unbeaten in the Big Ten at 11-0 and a glistening 23-1. The Terps, the Lady Terps, raced out to a 46-27 lead at halftime. Indiana could never recover, and really it got worse. Their worst third quarter of the year, they were outscored by 19 in losing this one, shooting less than 32% for the ball game, and worst yet, only 3 of 17 from behind the line. And you look at the rest of the lineup beside Amanda Cahill, 16-9. No support offensively for the IU women. No one else was in double figures. Tyra Buss held to just 7 points on 2 of 17 shooting. And that is the tale of the tape there. They go to Rutgers on Wednesday night trying to, well, move back up over the 500 mark. More importantly, get them a win and get positioning as good as they can get it ahead of the Big Ten tournament, and that's down the road a bit. But 6-5 would look good after the blowout loss yesterday by the IU women. Elsewhere, Daniel Kuhn and Catherine Receiver, how many times have we talked about them in our Hoosier Sports Capsule? Each broke school records at the Mayo Invitational. Up in South Bend over the weekend for Ron Helmer's crew, Daniel won the men's 800, a record 146. He keeps getting faster and faster. Former South Stand at Jordan Huntoon was third. He had a PR of 149. Receiver, meanwhile, broke a nearly 30-year-old mark in the women's 3,000 meters when she finished second in 9:03. So good things happening there. The Hoosier Tracksters are back home this weekend for the Hoosier Hills Invitational. Good weekend for the water polo crew as they close out their eastern swing to Brown, a record of 6-2 in the Bruno Classic. They had an unbeaten week and knocked off Azusa Pacific 11-7, and then had an exhibition win over Brown as well, 10-4, as freshman Joelle Nacuzzi led the way on the weekend with 8 goals and 5 assists. Kelly Matthews had 7 goals on the weekend. And the IU women, for the first time this winter, will be back home in the CBAC as they will host the Hoosier Invitational starting on Saturday. On the wrestling mats, Nate Jackson is still unbeaten in duels at 184. He's ranked 6th nationally, now 16-0. The IU grapplers of Dwayne Goldman split over the weekend. They started well. They won out at Maryland 22-19 on Friday, lost yesterday out at number 13 Rutgers 25-9, the final there. Ramiro Askew's IU women's tennis team lost to Miami on Saturday 4-3, a tough one, but boy, they labored and played hard and never quit yesterday in winning a couple of matches. They beat Western Kentucky 4-2 and Evansville 4-3, so they wrap up the weekend 2-1 and continue along with a nice start to Romero's first year. Mentioning starts, how about Jeremy Wertzman's fellows? They haven't lost a match since we turned 2017. They're off to a 6-0 start as they beat Princeton. That final was 5-2 over the weekend. Well, in the zone, David Glass, and your phone calls to, start your sports week. Plenty to talk about after that historic Super Bowl 51 win by the New England Patriots. And your phone calls tonight at 6.
Line was 3-58 in New England, Joe.
Yeah, I heard you.
Oh, my goodness.
Things went up in smoke the two-point conversion for sure, and then got worse if you decided that you liked Atlanta.
They could have pushed out. They could have. Oh, gee whiz.
The whole scenario changed. Oh, my.
Throw a match on that fire.
It went up quick, didn't it?
It did. They got the book got hurt in the playoffs because they had a lot of chalk winning and a lot of chalk winning comfortably. And at least we had a fitting, dramatic finale to the NFL season.
Yep.
That's exciting. We've got a busy week, obviously, this week, and we look forward to hearing from you the rest of the week, and we've got Purdue in town to throw on top of all that, so
yep.
No rest for the wicked.
Two high school games Thursday and Friday. We'll talk more about it this week.